since everybody's quieting down and it's about 6 o'clock, we can go ahead and get started. So, thank you so much, Wayne County Commissioners, for joining us over here in Springfield and helping us get through our transportation system plan. It's most generous of you to continue to come over every time we have something like this happen. So thank you so much. With that, I'll open the work session for the City Council and ask for roll call.
Mayor Lundberg.
Here.
Councilors Van Gordon.
Here.
Moe.
Here.
Moore.
Here.
Stare.
Here.
Woodrow.
Here.
Pishnary.
Here.
Okay, I'll convene the Lane County Board of Commissioners, and we're going to have three meetings this week, so Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Tonight, as the mayor mentioned, we are delighted to be here in Springfield, and this time I'll ask the commissioners to introduce themselves, starting with Commissioner Bozovich.
Jay Bozovich, West Lane.
Not far north.
Heather Buck, District 5.
Joe Bernie has a long drive this evening.
And Pete Sorensen. All five commissioners are present, and we appreciate the invitation to come to Springfield whenever we can. And thanks so much for everything you do to make us welcome. Thank you.
So with that, we have one item that we're going to be talking about. It's the Transportation System Plan Implementation Project in our work session. And Emma, are you our primary staff person for the presentation?
Yes, I am.
Great.
Good evening, Mayor, Councilors, and Commissioners. Thank you all for being here tonight. I need to briefly introduce the project team. So we have Mark Rust, Michael Liebler, and Christina Kraus have been supporting a lot on this project, so thank you. And Becky Taylor is also here with Lane County as their senior transportation planner supporting the project.
And Sandy's also here.
Yes, Cindy and Tom are also, they've been advising on the project, but they haven't been directly on the board of the project. Thank you.
Thank you.
So with that, so the objectives for the work session specifically are to briefly review the project. Review the two components that you'll be conducting a public hearing on, both the Planning Commission's recommendation and the council alternatives, and then answer any remaining questions that you have to prepare for tonight's public hearing. So just a recap for those of you who are more recently on the committees, City Council and Lane County Board of Commission co-adopted Springfield's Transportation System Plan, our very own transportation plan, in 2014, and that established the higher level goals, policies, and actions for transportation in Springfield. This project's task is to translate those already adopted policies and action items into the Springfield Development Code and make minor changes to the TSP to help implement the policies that were approved by both the Council and Board of Commissioners to fulfill the state transportation planning rules. Brief overview of the process. So we started with some staff work, a stakeholder sounding board that had broad representation, a technical review team that had both City of Springfield staff as well as other regional agency partners, experts in transportation and other related topics, and went through an iterative process to develop an initial draft. Once those draft code amendments were developed, it moved on to the Planning Commission. They resulted in a joint recommendation that was the same, so that's before you this evening. And then we're now in the purple bubble, City Council and Board of County Commissioners, leading to adoption. The goals of the Transportation System Plan Implementation Project are on the screen, and these directly come from our Transportation System Plan's Chapter 7. So when we adopted our TSP, there was a section saying, here's a next step to take, and this outlines the goals of this project. So addressing the needs of transportation dependent and disadvantaged, system connectivity, supporting and promoting walking, biking, and transit, making sure that transportation facilities are good for the land use planning and permitting process, and updating and adopting a conceptual street map. So So public notice, which included mail to all property owners within the Springfield Urban Growth Boundary, was completed in December 2017. Since then, staff communicated with community members through an open house, drop-in visits at City Hall, phone calls, emails, and public meetings. Over 100 people attended the open house. The City and County Planning Commissions had a joint work session and then held a joint public hearing that spanned two meeting dates. On the first meeting date, over 200 people attended and 36 provided testimony. At the second evening, 50 attended and 12 people testified. After the hearing, the Planning Commission deliberated and directed staff to make changes to respond to the community feedback, then approved their recommendation to be forwarded to you. The City and County Planning Commissions approved the same recommendation. Springfield City Council has since developed council alternatives to put out alongside the Planning Commission's recommendation this evening for a public hearing. We'll review the differences between the Planning Commission recommendation and council alternatives briefly in a few slides. So the first piece of materials are the transportation system plan amendments. We're looking at amendments to both the project list that identifies transportation projects in Springfield, as well as the figures or maps that depict where those projects are located. The project list indicates Planning Commission recommended amendments in bright pink text. So I'm not expecting you to read that on the right side there, but that's how the changes are depicted in the document. And the City Council alternatives are shown in green text. There's only one council alternative on that project list. All of the TSP figures, except for the conceptual street map, which I'll talk more about later, are the same as the Planning Commission's recommendation. Everything other than the project list and figures noted has already been adopted into the transportation system plan and found to be in compliance with state transportation planning requirements. Some public comments were received by the Planning Commission about already adopted projects. You may hear more of those this evening, but that was outside of the scope of this project, what it was initially directed to look at. And then the Planning Commission, yeah, they decided, you know, we've heard those comments, but they chose not to expand the scope of what the project was trying to achieve. And then the approval criteria for the TSP amendments are shown on the screen. So the amendments shall be consistent with relevant statewide planning goals, and the adoption of the amendment shall not make the Metro plan internally inconsistent. This is what the Planning Commission based their recommendation off of, and the criteria for all of you. Any questions so far? And now we'll keep going. So the second piece of the project is the Springfield Development Code amendments. The amendments need to be consistent with the Metro Plan, applicable state statutes, and applicable statewide planning goals and administrative rules. There's also an image on the far right there that shows what that document looks like. So the changes are depicted in yellow for the Planning Commission recommendation, and then once again, green shows the council alternative. The findings section in the Springfield Development Code amendments, there's little findings within there, link the already adopted transportation policies to the recommended changes and explain the reasoning behind the recommended amendments. As a side, I'd like to note that Springfield staff will be bringing a resolution forward only to City Council to adopt changes to the City's Engineering Design Standards and Procedures Manual, or EDSPM, near the end of this project. The purpose of that is to maintain consistency between city documents so that our development code syncs up with our engineering design standards and procedures manual. The City Council received a communication packet on this item September 30th, and that'll be a city-only action item. So briefly, I just wanted to show topics that were addressed through the Springfield Development Code amendments. So we looked through all of the policies that have been adopted, and then there are changes implemented in the code in these different sections. So some of the key topics that the Planning Commission discussed were local street connectivity. There was a lot of discussion about that. Some of the traffic calming, community input with product development, Table 4.2-1, which is the right-of-way and minimum curb-to-curb width table, so the standards for different types of streets. Motor vehicle parking reductions, long-term bicycle parking standards, and exterior short-term bicycle parking location. The topic that received the most public comments and discussion by the Planning Commissions was the street connectivity at the top. The main difference between the local street connectivity approach of the Planning Commission's recommendation and the council alternative is that the Planning Commission recommendation includes a local street network map, and the council alternative does not. Becky, do you want to add something?
Yes, I wanted to just share the Planning Commission, the Lane County Planning Commission for the board. They were especially sensitive to public comments from people in the urban transition area about potential property impacts associated with street widening or extensions. And given the state rules that guide a connected and multimodal system, the Planning Commission really focused on how to minimize and mitigate those potential impacts. So for the local street map, they wanted to make sure that the lines on the map were not set in stone. So they worked really hard to add qualifying language to that map. That map is no longer part of the board's adoption packet, so that's not under consideration by the board. And the Planning Commission also wanted to call attention to opportunities for public involvement when prior to projects being constructed. And so they wanted to make sure that the public knew about those public involvement opportunities. And they also wanted the more attention to traffic calming. And both traffic calming and public involvement procedures are part of the city's development code.
So briefly, I'd like to talk about two maps. In the council alternative, there's only one, but for sake of clarity, I think this is important to cover. So the Planning Commission's initially reviewed one map that showed multiple layers of information. Through the public hearing and deliberation process, they recommended a two-map approach, so splitting the map into two. This approach helps separate the required road plan elements from a map that shows planned local streets, and the local streets were the topic that received the most testimony. It also helps clarify where the adopted maps would be located and how they would be adopted. So the first map, Map 1, is the conceptual street map. It was recommended by the Planning Commissions for adoption into the Transportation System Plan and retains the existing and planned, or shows the existing and planned arterials, collectors, and multi-use path layer of the original map. It also fulfills the road plan requirements for the state transportation planning rules. And that is recommended both in the Planning Commission recommendation and the council alternatives. Map 2, the local street network map, was recommended by the Planning Commissions for adoption into the Springfield Development Code and puts planned local streets on their own map. The local street network map plays a role within one option for street network standards in the Planning Commission recommendation, and it does not exist in the council alternative. During the hearing and your deliberations, please take care to refer to the correct map, since with the splitting of the map, there has been some confusion around naming and conventions. So the conceptual street map shows existing and planned arterials, collectors, and multi-use paths. It is in both. And the local street network map is only in the Planning Commission recommendation. Any questions about this?
You referred to Map 1 and Map 2, and up there there's Exhibit B and C.
Yeah, Exhibit B and C in the Planning Commission's recommendation.
And in the board's packet, the conceptual street map is Exhibit A in Attachment 2. That's your draft ordinance for co-adopting the Springfield TSP. And the other map is not in your packet because it's not in front of you for consideration.
On Table 4.2-1, it does say that the minimum curb-to-curb width for non-residential neighborhoods is 34 feet, and residential is 22 feet. So I also saw that the non-residential standards are going to apply if there is a non-residential zone that's adjacent to a residential zone. That's in page 7. I just wanted to know, I mean, has anybody weighed in on whether that was going to represent a safety risk at all for the residential people?
So you may hear comment on that this evening. The council alternative was the point at which that split between residential and non-residential was created. So it hasn't been put out to public hearing yet to receive comments. But
okay.
There might be comment tonight.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. So the Planning Commission recommendation has a few different components. As I said, both the city and county Planning Commission reached the same recommendation after making revisions and responding to public comments received. In the council's regular session packet, the recommendation starts with a signed order and recommendation, which is attachment 2, and then has 5 attached exhibits A through B. and it is not included in the county's packet, but it's available on the project website. So there's the Springfield Development Code Amendments, there's a local street network map that plays a role within that, and then there's the Transportation System Plan Project List and Map Updates, and a new Transportation System Figure 12, which is the conceptual street map I was just speaking about. And then the Planning Commission recommendation also has the staff report and findings to accompany that recommendation. So the Planning Commission heard testimony from community members, as Becky spoke about earlier, expressing the desire to be notified and involved in project development when a project goes from simply being on our list in our transportation plan to actively moving into design and construction. Planning Commission approved a motion, which is provided on the slide here, to respond to this request to include more information about how community members are notified and can know when and how to get involved at time of project development. More information has been provided to the City Council in your regular session packet, Attachment 3, and Becky will be entering a copy of this into the record at the public hearing. When the Planning Commission order and recommendation was adopted in August 2018, this aspect of the Planning Commission's recommendation was overlooked and not included. Staff are now recommending adopting the Planning Commission's recommended text into the findings of the staff report in support of this project as an alternative to the Planning Commission's recommendation. Adding the recommended text as a finding in the staff report would be a more appropriate place for the information and avoid potential plan conflicts. If we start bringing the development code into our transportation system plan and then you want to make changes in the development code, that could prove challenging. So the recommendation that we're bringing for you is to add this as a finding. It's important information, and it's really important to respond to the public comments received and that people have opportunities to engage. But that's our recommendation for where to locate the text. Attachment 3 in your regular session packet for the council has more information, and we'll be handing that out as well at the regular session. We'd also be happy to answer questions. Do you have anything to add on this?
Yeah, so what I'll be entering into the record is a memo from the city's legal counsel, which I emailed to the board last week as a heads up. It's about a different approach than what was described to the board at your October 15th work session. Commissioner Fowler, you'll recall you asked staff about the county's and the city's public involvement process. Lane County's procedures are in Lane Manual, which requires extensive public involvement for new projects other than bridges and maintenance, and the city's procedures are in its development code. And the Planning Commission didn't recommend changing the public involvement procedures or code provisions to require more or different expectations around public involvement. The recommendation was about calling attention to existing procedures. And so this memo talks about the technical and practical issues of pulling code text into the TSP, whereas typically the TSP is a policy document. And then you have implementing detailed provisions that are codified. So this memo talks about recommending that the code provisions be in the record as findings rather than as TSP text amendments. And for implementation, in my experience, it's most important to have procedures codified. And therefore, I'm neutral about this city position so long as the board understands the Planning Commission's intent.
Any questions on that one? Okay. Making good time. So now for the council alternatives. This lists the different elements of the council alternatives. So within the transportation system plan, there is an addition to Project Study 17, and that is up in the Don Lockhaven, Laura, the east of I-5, north of 126 Expressway neighborhood for studying connectivity specific to that neighborhood. The conceptual street map, there were a few amendments to update to be consistent with existing conditions and development that's been approved. And then within the Springfield Development Code, there was an addition to the table 4.2-1 street standards that Councilor Stair was just mentioning. There were some changes within the street network standards. The most significant one was removal of the local street network map as a criteria. Private streets and motor vehicle on-street parking reduction and motor vehicle parking right sizing. So there's a lot of talk about how to simplify the parking requirement table and then provide more flexibility to developers. In the council regular session packet, the council alternatives start with cover sheet attachment 4 and then has three attached exhibits, A through C. that show the fully integrated versions of the council alternatives. The topics shown on this, yep. Yeah. So any questions on the council alternatives or anything that you want to add? Okay. Great. Wonderful. Thank you. Well, with that, on to next steps. So there are a few different options for action tonight. You could continue the public hearing. December 2nd is the next night that is available for everyone to meet. You could close the hearing but leave the record open until a date certain, or close the hearing and record and deliberate toward a final decision. The City Council will need to have two more readings due to the fact that you're asking for input on two different sets of materials tonight. We'll need to refine and move toward adoption with a few more meetings. At the end of your regular session, we'll be asking for input on how you wish to proceed with the process.
And I've clarified with Chair Sorensen. Procedurally, you can't act tonight either, and then it's up to the board whether to have your second meeting, your deliberations jointly with the council or not. You can choose to hold a second public hearing, extend the public record, but you just can't act tonight.
Should we go to December 2 date then?
If you want to have a joint public hearing or deliberate jointly, that's the date that works best for both bodies. We've confirmed that you have full attendance on that date. Diana Jones did a polling at the board in advance.
Do we need to make that decision right at this moment or after we have the public hearing?
I recommend making that decision after the public hearing in case you decide you want to have another public hearing. Or
I'll probably call on Commissioner Burney to make that motion then.
So with that, I'm open for questions or clarification. That's the end of my slide deck, so turn it back over to you.
So are we technically, if we're done with questions and that we're done with the first session, so we can adjourn, but we need to wait until 7,
correct,
to do that.
Public hearing at 7.
I just wanted to ask a question about the your anticipation of any public comment this evening. What public comment do you think we'll get?
That's a great question. There was quite a lot during the Planning Commission public hearing. A lot of changes have been made since then. Mm-hmm. So I haven't heard from very many people a few clarifications of, hey, where are we at in the process, or things are heading in the right direction. I do have one comment that I will be handing out to you, but it's just in support. So looking forward to seeing who shows up and what it consists of.
Thank you.
Okay. So with that, we can close the work session. Mm-hmm. I'll close the council work session.
I'll borrow your gavel and we'll close the work session.
Okay. So there's still food over there.